forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Work Stew.
Hello, and welcome to Work Stew. It's January 3rd, 2013, and this is episode number 54. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Work Stew, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. For this episode, I spoke with Jed Selter of Caring Clowns International. He's the organization's president of the board, but most importantly, he's also a clown. Here's the interview. So I'm speaking this morning with Jed Selter, who appears to be a clown. Is that right? Is that how you introduce yourself, Jed?
Pretty much, yes.
So tell me, how did you become a clown?
Oh, it's a long story. I was formerly a low-level executive at Boeing. When my wife and I moved to the Puget Sound area and I went to work for Boeing, I was looking for another way to engage with children beyond my previous work in working with deaf, mute, and blind kids and being a scout master and those kinds of things. And what I found was that the Boeing company has a management association to which managers pay dues for different kinds of lift tickets and reduced opera tickets and the like. And the one philanthropic organization they support is a clown club. So I thought that might be interesting. So I interviewed with the clown club, and I must say that was probably the most difficult job interview that I had ever gone through in my career in management.
Yes, I have to stop you right there. What does a clown interview entail exactly?
Oh, it's kind of things like, who the heck do you think you are, and what makes you think you can do this, and do you have any experience, and those kinds of things. And the way it normally works, and we do this in our organization as well, is that you are assigned one or two mentors who really become more than mentors. They become very close friends. And my two mentors and I have been close friends now for absolutely years. And they help you with how to put on makeup, designing a face, motion and movement when you're clowning, interacting with other clowns, what to do in the hospital environment with kids, just a plethora of things that involve the clowning profession. So that's how I got started, and it's now been, on our website it says that Duffy's been clowning since the invention of sand dunes, which is pretty close. I think this is my 39th or 40th year clowning.
Wow. And then how did Caring Clowns International get started?
I had traveled to some countries other than the U.S. A few times and was invited to go to Vietnam with another clown in 2001. And I couldn't go that year because it was the year I was retiring from Boeing. So I committed to go in 2002. Four of us went, and it was the first time I had clowned. It's the first time I had been in Vietnam, and I had been an Air Force officer in the Pentagon during that war and never went to Vietnam. I had a number of tours canceled because of the clearances I held in the intelligence community. So my first time to Vietnam was clowning in 2002, and I was literally dumbstruck by what I saw in terms of the beauty of the country, the friendliness of the people, and that's not what got me so much as the aftermath of the devastation of the Vietnam War, which still remains today. And I came back from that. We clowned in a lot of orphanages with a blind school in other areas, and most of the children with whom we clowned were affected physically and mentally by that war. An example is Agent Orange and other defoliants that we used and dropped in Vietnam leached into the groundwater and had some residual effect on plants for food, and were affecting children genetically because of what their mothers to be were ingesting into their systems. And Agent Orange, to my great sorrow, has a half-life of 500 years. Mm. So still today, there are children being born with mental and physical defects as a result of the actions that we took in Vietnam. Mm. And I came back from that trip with these other four clowns and adamantly said, I want to start a nonprofit that is based around clowning for the joy it brings to children and adults alike, but I also want it to be an organization that raises money and provides it to other nonprofits who are significantly improving the lives of children. So we have a dual mission in Caring Clowns International.
So is it your performances that raise the money? What is the actual fundraising mechanism?
We do a lot of begging. No, that's not true. We do a lot of community events. We have clowns here in the Puget Sound area. There are probably 25 of us right now. We have about 50 of us across the U.S. in different cities. We have started a giggle of clowns in the Chicago area and a giggle in the Detroit area. We have a clown who is starting a giggle in London, England. We have a couple of other clowns in other countries. And what we do is put on performances, things like street fairs and parties and homecomings. We do a lot with the military. And when organizations can provide us with donations, we gratefully take them. And that's where most of the base of our money comes from. And by the end of last year, 2012, we had given away to other organizations about $215,000. And my near-term goal, which I hope we can make by October of this year, is to have given away $250,000. And we're very proud of maintaining an average of about 9 to 17% overhead because we don't have facilities we have to pay for. Mm. We all work out of our homes.
Got it. And one last question. So you mentioned the joy that clowns bring to children and to adults. Have you ever had, whether it was in Vietnam or here, a child who's just flat out frightened by a clown?
yes, adults as well. Four of us just came back last month from 3 weeks clowning in Uganda and Ethiopia. And especially in Uganda, most of the places we went, schools, kids had never seen anything like what we consider a clown. And typically we would go to a school. I recall going to a school of about 700 kids who were playing outside. And we took the teacher aside and said, asked if it was okay if we would go clown with the kids. And she said yes. So I waded toward these children and almost to a kid, each kid did a double take when they saw me and screamed halfway smiling, and they ran away like a huge group of minnows, and then they immediately switched and turned around and ran back.
Ah, excellent.
And that was kind of a typical reaction, especially in Uganda, somewhat in Ethiopia, but clowns are known in Ethiopia. periodically, we'll run into children or adults who have a fear of clowns. And if it's significant, we know enough just to back off and leave them alone. If it looks like we can do something with them, we will do cajoling things and make more fun of ourselves than we usually would and try to get a smile and a laugh and can normally, at least for that instant, turn them around a little bit.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Jed Selter. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.